Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 Project here on the Nerd Party Network, where every 2 weeks we review two films from the A24 filmography and in between bring you an interview with the talent involved. This week we bring you the full interview that we previewed a few weeks ago on our review episode for The Lighthouse. I'm joined by Logan Hawks, who plays Ephraim Winslow, a character with a mysterious connection to Robert Pattinson's character Thomas Howard in Robert Eggers' sophomore feature for A24, The Lighthouse. Logan shares with me the surprising story of how his barbershop, The Lucky Cat in Nova Scotia, played a key role in his casting in The Lighthouse. His experiences on the set, working with Robert Pattinson, Robert Eggers, Willem Dafoe, and former guests on the show, Valeria Caraman, and much more. Thanks so much to Logan for joining me, and me and Dallas will return next week to review First Cow and Boy State. Enjoy the interview. So, for those that are listening who know you from The Lighthouse, Logan, can you tell us a little bit about your kind of background and a little bit about yourself?
So, I have no film background or experience at all. I'm just, like you kind of mentioned, I'm a barber living and working in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where the film, or at least some of the film, was produced. And I just kind of fell into this, to be honest, but... no experience or background here.
You mentioned sort of you're a barber, but have you ever sort of wanted to be an actor? Did you ever sort of dream of seeing your name up in lights?
No, not at all. Growing up and then into my 20s, I was a musician. So that was kind of more, music was always my passion, and kind of, if I was going to see my name anywhere, it would be like, you know, in a music magazine or something in my head, you know. It's definitely not, hadn't considered film at all.
Were you sort of a film fan at all, in terms of, was there any sort of films that you were like, I really enjoy that director, or is it sort of just music was the main passion?
Yeah, like I'm not even that much of a film guy. My taste in film, I like more sort of mood pieces and things like that, which The Lighthouse is definitely a vibe, you know. So when I saw the film, I was very, very proud to have a little tiny role in that, because it's the kind of film that I would watch, you know, regardless of being in it or not. I can't say that I have I'm much of a film buff at all or anything.
When did you sort of first hear about the Lighthouse as something that was kind of happening up in Nova Scotia, and something that would kind of ultimately kind of snatch you up?
The film used mostly local crew, so we through the barbershop and things like that, we had a lot of friends that worked on the film, so I kind of knew it was coming out. Just vaguely, and obviously Pattinson and Dafoe were tied to that, so there was a lot of buzz around town about them. So it was something that we were aware of for sure, mostly through our friends working in the crew.
Did you know sort of much about Robert Eggers and his sort of previous work, or was it sort of a bit of the buzz around town about who's this guy and, oh, like, Robert Pattinson, Willem Dafoe are up here kind of shooting a film?
Yeah, I think Eggers had a bit of a buzz to him for people that kind of knew about that sort of thing, obviously with the Witch, and The Witch was shot in Ontario, so not far, I mean relatively from here in Canada as well. So my best friend, for example, was a huge fan of The Witch, and I hadn't seen that either, so I had no context for who Robert Eggers was. But I think that, you know, people that are into film and things like that, especially Canadian productions and things, were definitely aware. I mostly learned that after through meeting Robert and getting involved in the film.
How did you become involved in the film, in terms of, as you say, you're not an actor? How did they sort of discover you, or how did you discover them?
Well, like I said, we knew a lot of the people on the crew, the assistant director in particular, Rob Cotterill, was a friend of ours, and he he approached my wife Ashley. So the barbershop that we work at, we own, my wife and I and our friend Neil, and Rob Cotterill, the AD, approached Ashley about doing some work on Willem's beard and mustache. They wanted it lightened so it would read more white and gray on the in the with the sort of that black and white filter. And so she said yes. She had no, honestly, she had no idea who Willem Dafoe was by name. And when we showed her his photo, she realized who he was and kind of started freaking out a little bit. If I can, sorry, Ashley, but but so she was getting nervous, and so I volunteered my own mustache to practice on. And then so I ended up, the day that they came in, she had bleached my mustache and everything. So I had a blonde mustache, and then I made her bleach my hair to match, because I wasn't going to shave, which turned out to be serendipitous. So I had bleach blonde hair, bleach blonde mustache. And when they came in, Robert Eggers immediately kind of gave me a side eye, and I brushed it off. I was like, "Oh, this guy's kind of weird." And my friend Neil there claims that he saw him kind of framing me with his thumb and index finger. You know, that stereotypical thing that you hear about them doing. And after a few minutes, Robert kind of came over and said, "Hey, do you want to be in the film?" And he showed me the character reference that he had, which was this old period photo of this guy who actually looked a lot like me. It was very strange. And he had very kind of yellow blonde hair and mustache. So total luck on so many fronts there.
What's it like when you get asked that kind of question? Usually, like, I can't imagine you sort of ever can prepare for a moment like that of like, do you want to be in our feature film with some of the world's most kind of known actors? What's that kind of moment like when you hear that question?
Well, it's just kind of surreal. Like, I didn't really know what that meant, and I didn't, you know, I have actor friends tell me later, like, that's insane that happened, you know. But I had no context for it or anything. It was pretty cool. Robert and Willem kind of were talking about it, you know, while I was there, and Willem's like, "Oh yeah, he looks perfect. He looks exactly, you know, like what you need there." And so it was kind of neat, and that really looked terrifying because I had no experience or anything like that.
When you kind of find yourself that you're going to be involved in a film like this, what kind of expectations do they have of you in terms of they come to you and say, "We're going to need you for these certain days"? Or is it one of those things you think, "Oh, you know, they're just being nice, you know, I'm probably never going to actually hear a sort of follow-up from it"? What sort of kind of happens in that sort of limbo period between being approached and shooting?
Well, like I said, because we had friends on the production, so I mean, I was pretty, they were, I mean, Robert and his team were very accommodating and very, you know, communicative, in that it was sort of a month in between from when they were in the shop and until when I sort of had my first couple rehearsals. And yeah, they were great. Yeah, again, I have like no context for this sort of thing, so I just kind of, and they were pretty clear about their expectation of me as someone with no experience, you know, and they obviously thought that I could, if I looked the part, I could pull it off. And I mean, you've seen the film; it's pretty straightforward. I give a look, and then I get to punch Pattinson in the face. And then there was a couple other shots of the drowning and things like that. So it was more, I mean, on paper, I think I'm a stunt actor, you know, so it's the actual acting experience wasn't really super necessary, but, yeah, they were great.
what were those rehearsal periods like? What sort of kind of, how did they sort of help you kind of prepare for the role?
Well, the role was fairly physical, because it was kind of built to me at first as a drowning scene, right? So they're like, we need someone for this character. The character drowns, is part of like Pattinson's backstory. And so my going into it, the emphasis was on this drowning scene. So I had to do a test in the water with a couple of the divers who worked on the set, and just to make sure that I could sort of handle being in the water for what I needed to do. So that was the first kind of rehearsal, was just this water test with some scuba gear in the pool, and, you know, sitting on the bottom of the pool and taking the mask off, putting it on, putting that breathing apparatus. And I haven't done any scuba diving or anything like that, but if you have, it's just sort of that sort of basic intro stuff. So, you know, I guess I passed their water test. I was kind of freaking out the whole time and in my head, but I just went into it. You know, you don't get these opportunities ever. And even though I wasn't looking for one, I certainly wasn't going to, you know, pass it up or kind of wuss out of it. So I just went into it thinking I was just going to try my best and just do whatever they asked me to.
What was that first day like when you get to set, you're shooting for real?
Yeah, so by that time, I guess I had read the script, so I knew a little bit more about what was going to happen. But again, the focus was on that drowning scene. So my head was really just, it was more about like the physicality of that moment. I mean, you said you talked to Valeria?
Yeah, we interviewed her. Yeah.
Yeah. So she probably went into some detail about that. I mean, she had it even harder than me. I saw a little bit of what she was doing, and that looked really tough, what she was doing in the water with that kind of suit. And so I had, you know, a similar kind of thing where I had to, you know, in the costume and everything like that, I had to kind of sit just below the surface with the breathing apparatus. I had a harness tied to me, and then when they yelled action, the stunt guy would pull the harness, and I would kind of drop, you know, 18, 20 feet into the pool, pretending to drown, get another breathing apparatus at the bottom, float back up, and kind of do it over again. So I was just focused on being able to do that. And when you're kind of in the water, and again, with no scuba experience, so just trying to wrap my brain around, you know, breathing and not breathing, and just being in the water for kind of that period of time with the costume and everything. Last minute, Robert wanted to tie like a fake blood thing to my head, so that I would also shoot blood out of the top of my head as I went down. So that was pretty trippy, to be getting pulled down and you see like kind of your eyes go through this cloud of red and you can't breathe, and then you're down to the bottom, you get your breath, go up and try it again. So I was just kind of in that, trying to keep my head in that zone of being able to do that. And I mean, there's, if you've been on a film set, you know, there's even on a what would be considered sort of a smaller budget project like this, there's, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of people all running around with jobs, and you're just trying to not let everyone down or take up too much film, because it was literally on, you know, film and all that stuff. So there's a certain amount of pressure, although I didn't feel that from the crew, but just for myself, there's a certain amount of pressure to kind of follow through and do the best that I could. So just tried to stay in the zone there.
What's that like when you get the script? What's going through your mind as you read this kind of, you know, amazing kind of film? I can imagine it's being it being something really special on the script alone.
Yeah, I mean, I felt quite privileged to be able to read the script, and obviously it's just such an interesting film, and the dialogue is so researched. So to be able to kind of get a preview into that, and it's, I mean, when you read the script, obviously you get, especially when you have a chance to sort of take some time with it, you can kind of get, you get a lot out of it, obviously, with the, where, you know, I'm part of Pattinson's backstory and kind of how that feeds into what's happening on that rock. So it was really neat. But then when I read the script, I realized I had this whole fight scene that nobody had kind of told me about. So that was pretty interesting. And then we didn't even talk about that until after I had shot my little bit in the water, which I think it's reduced to like a millisecond on the screen. It took me two or three times of seeing the film before I even could really like pick that out of that sort of trippy flashback moment.
What's Robert Eggers like as a director when you're working with him on set?
I have nothing to compare it to, but he, I mean, Robert's the nicest dude, and you can really tell that he commands a lot of respect from the people working with him. Everyone was really trying to get the best set of everybody else and trying to produce the best film that they could. He's pretty quiet, at least in my experience. I think he has a lot of trust in the people around him, and he's definitely a strong leader, but a very in a quiet way. And I think, you know, having the chance to talk to, having a lot of friends on the crew, and then getting to meet a lot of them later at, I went to the premiere in Toronto. Everybody just had amazing things to say about working with Robert. So I think, you know, he's already obviously an auteur director, and I think he'll be very, very successful, not just because he's so, you know, talented, but he does command a lot of respect from the people that work with him.
What's it like to punch Robert Pattinson in the face?
Pretty surreal, man. I get to, you know, my claim to fame now is that I punch Batman in the face, which is pretty cool, but it's, that whole thing was like very, very surreal. I, you know, my first position was in for that scene was lying on my back in that shack, and the amount of detail that was in that set was crazy. I mean, there were rotten potatoes lying on the ground. There was the thing looked, all the details, it looked real. They were hosing it down, so everything was dripping wet. Just lying on my back, sort of getting dripped on from the ceiling, and this guy walks in with a hoodie, smoking a Juul, and kind of takes his hoodie off and gets down and straddles, you know, basically sitting on my chest. Quick handshake, and then we just start pulling punches at each other. So it's pretty strange to just, you know, Robert Pattinson grabbing you by the shirt collars there, but.
It's so good to know that you've actually filmed that, because so many times with films like this, it could be, you know, you watch that, you think, oh, I bet they just filmed, that was maybe a different director, they just cut it all together. It's so good that you were all kind of together, that attention to detail kind of shows on screen.
Oh, it was, everything you see was there and carefully considered. That scene was pretty interesting. Because Valeria was there as well, lying next to us. I don't want to ruin how that kind of came together, but it was just a pretty interesting thing. I remember Pattinson kind of laughing between takes, because it was kind of this weird thing we had to do. And then there was another part of it where kind of when he notices me there and I'm looking at him, in the original script, I spit at him. And so he was sitting kind of off camera, and somebody had a screen that they made out of two pieces of wood and saran wrap kind of in front of him. And I would spit in his direction, and then they pull the screen back and he would tackle me from off camera. And I remember at one point, I'm like, my mouth is getting dry, right? Because I'm just spitting at all of my saliva everywhere. And so I've got a little bottle of water, and the cameraman had to go get a rain jacket because I just kept spraying him with water. So.
With your character as well, you play a prominent role in a scene that has been dissected by places like Vanity Fair and so much about this quite unforgettable masturbation scene, which you are a part of this montage with kind of flashes of your character. What's that like when you sort of read it on the script but then see it in film, how sort of your character comes together in such a unique and kind of unforgettable scene that people were, you know, dissecting and debating upon the film's release?
It's definitely more powerful to see it on the screen. I mean, intellectually, I could get it from the script, but seeing it on the screen kind of brought that to life emotionally as well. So, it was a weird thing to read about, you know, when you're reading the script. And like you said, that whole sort of sequence with that masturbation scene. And then at the end with that really sort of trippy, almost hallucinogenic kind of scene where, you know, I guess it's Defoe's character sort of transforming into these different aspects of Pattinson's psychology or whatever, but to actually see it on the screen was pretty incredible.
There's so much debate about the meaning of the lighthouse, so many different interpretations. What's your kind of personal interpretation and view of your role within it?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of go back and forth, to be honest. I guess Eggers kept pretty mum himself about the whole thing. Everybody on set had their own take on it, including there was somebody, I think it might have been the costume department, were talking about some sort of love affair between me and Pattinson's character. So everybody had their own sort of interpretation of it, but I kind of go back and forth on, clearly they're going insane, but it's always like which one of them is the insane one, right? It seems like, I don't know, it kind of seems like to me that Defoe is sort of gaslighting Pattinson through that film. But that's kind of my take on it.
When you look back on sort of your time, how do you sort of look back on that kind of, you know, almost once in a lifetime experience? I bet, as you mentioned, you've got these actor friends. They must have, you know, they would have probably bitten off your hand for that kind of moment. What's your kind of, you know, experience sort of looking back on this kind of once in a lifetime opportunity?
I mean, I'm extremely, extremely proud and extremely humbled to just have had that little moment in that film. And it was such an incredible experience working with Eggers, and I didn't really spend a whole lot of time with Pattinson, but Defoe is just like a class act. That guy is he's a great man, and very kind, and the whole crew were really great to work with. I came out of it wanting to, you know, explore working in film or something like that. I just thought the whole experience was so cool, and there was such a energy on set and about that film. And then I, you know, in talking with my friends who work in the industry, you come to find that experience is quite rare. And you know, they all everybody wants that experience a couple times in their career, but it is a rare experience. So I just feel very fortunate to have kind of stumbled into that.
When sort of the marketing begins for this film, the buzz begins, what's it like for you? Do you become nervous? Do you become excited sort of ahead of people seeing the film that you've been involved in something that seems to be creating a lot of kind of energy?
Yeah, I mean, like my whole role in it's pretty small, so I wasn't nervous at all. I knew that they were going to make a good film, and I knew they were going to make me look at least not bad, you know. So I was just really excited to see it, and I wanted to take in as much of it as I could. So, like I said, I went to Toronto to the premiere there and had a good time, and kind of got to go to a couple little industry things, which was almost just as surreal as being in the movie. But and then they were really kind enough to bring it to our film festival in Halifax, and so I got to see it with a lot of my friends and people in my community, which was great.
What's it like sort of watching yourself on the big screen for the first time? You've got it in this letterbox, black and white, and it all kind of comes together. Is it sort of, as you mentioned, sort of like, you know, oh, a little moment kind of flashes before you. Is it sort of, do you wish you could sort of just pause time, or is it just a mixture of nerves, excitement?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see what, you know, after all the things that you kind of go through on set and all the different takes and approaches, and then to see what ends up getting kind of thrown in there and edited, and what comes out of that. That, like I said, that whole drowning sequence, the fight scene in my conversations with the, you know, Robert and kind of the crew before filming, everything was focused on that drowning scene, and the fight scene was sort of like an afterthought almost for me. So I was really just in my head, I was just thinking about that, and then it kind of flipped by and I didn't even see it. And then to see the that moment where my face on the screen was pretty crazy. Crazy to watch. I a lot of people, kind of old friends and things like that, hit me up on Instagram or whatever and said, "I think I saw you in a movie," you know, because fairly prominent there for a quick second. But I guess just that you don't really know what you're gonna see, right? And I knew I wouldn't get cut because of the role and how few sort of players there were in the film. But just to see kind of what came out of that work that you did there.
Got a nice little title card at the end as well, a nice little bit of font and stuff like that. It's certainly a lovely little role you've got.
Yeah, and the barbershop gets a special thanks there, so that was really fun to see as well.
There's so many things to get on repeated viewings of The Lighthouse. Now I'll have to watch it. We'll look at those little special thanks. There you are with your barbershop next to people like Ari Aster. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Lucky Cat Barbershop and the special thanks. You'll see it.
The film, obviously, as you've mentioned, sort of it's a great showcase for the talent in Nova Scotia, the craft, the local talent. How was the film sort of received by the locals, and how important is it to have films like this come to Nova Scotia, not just the traditional Hollywood locations?
I mean, everybody here was very, very, very proud of the film. I know the crew were very proud of the film and the job that they did, and it was a brutal kind of filming circumstances for most of that crew. All the work I did was indoors, but when they were out in Cape Fréchou, you know, in that terrible weather, a lot of that weather was real. Most of that weather was real, so you can imagine a film set out there in that weather. So it was kind of this shared ordeal that everyone has that they went through, and everyone's pretty proud of it. And the locals, I think, are very proud of the film and how it sort of represents our film industry here as well.
Does a film like this have like an impact on your life and stuff? As you say, people from all around the world see this. You've been involved now in a film that's ended up being nominated for like an Academy Award. Does it have much of a kind of impact, or is it one of these ones that's just an amazing experience that kind of happens and hopefully something like that maybe comes again?
Yeah, no, no real experience or impact on my life, just a really great experience.
And finally, I'll be posed this question to sort of everyone we have on the show. Are there other A24 films that you're a fan of or you've seen that you kind of that have stood out for you?
I mean, recently, mid-90s was really cool, and I have I haven't seen Uncut Gems yet. I know it's going to be just this sort of anxious thrill ride, so I'm just waiting to get in the right headspace to watch that, but I'm really excited to see that film.
I suppose during a pandemic where the world's all gone to hell, maybe that's enough anxiety for 1 year.
Well, exactly. I had all this time, but I just couldn't pull myself to pull the trigger on that. I was like, I don't want this to push me over the edge, but I am excited. I'm really excited to see that. I think I'm a basketball fan, so I think like the way that they filmed that around a real basketball game it was crazy.
Finally, if people wanted to kind of reach out to you or follow your exploits, where's the kind of best places on social media to follow you, Logan?
Our barbershop Instagram is a good place. Lucky Cat Barbershop on Instagram there.
Not many barbershops, as we say, get a special thanks credit in a film, so someone will have to get that printed off, framed, and put up behind the desk.
Willem wanted a t-shirt, so I keep every now and then I Google paparazzi footage of Willem to see if he's wearing that t-shirt, but no luck yet. So if anyone sees Willem in the t-shirt, get a picture for me.
We saw him at the UK premiere, but I think he probably maybe had it on underneath his suit and tie that day.
Yeah, exactly. He was a little dressed up the last couple of times we saw him.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you, and I hope nothing but success for you in the future, and take care out there in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Cheers. Nice to talk to you.